is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying with the surface of the planet Earth with Bob Zimmerman. It is happy birthday, Behind the Black, 12 years of explicating NASA and then commercial space. And we have a lot of space engineering in front of us. Your donations and subscriptions are most generous and most appreciated as we watch Starship being assembled at Boca Chica and SLS being assembled at Cape Canaveral. Two big rocket boosters for the moon and beyond. Bob, a very good evening to you. Happy birthday, Behind the Black. NASA set a date to do what, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, after many years, NASA has finally given us now a tentative, not an actual, a tentative launch date for the SLS rocket's first launch. It will launch an Orion capsule to circle around the moon and come back to Earth 42 days later. That's been the plan, unmanned. That's been the plan for now years. It was supposed to launch initially in 2015, then 17, then 18, then 19, then 20, then 21, then 22, and they might get it off finally in 22. They set a date, August 29th, 22. They have a launch window that extends till September 6th. It's a tentative date because they're still getting the, checking out the rocket and fixing a few problems they had during the dress rehearsal countdown last month. They think they can get everything straightened out in time to move the rocket to the launch pad around August 18th, and at that point they will be going to try to do a launch by the 29th. And keep your fingers crossed. I think a lot of people at NASA have to. There was a one. I should point out, John. There was one tidbit in this announcement that they slipped in, which is typical what they do in SLS. Initially, they were going to do the first manned SLS launch in 24. That was a Trump demand. After Trump left, NASA admitted, well, we won't do it in 24. We'll get it done in 25. In this press conference announcing the launch date for the unmanned test, NASA officials slipped in this little comment that the manned mission will occur in 25 or 26. They're basically beginning to prep the press for the certain delay that's coming down the road. And I predict it will not happen in 26 either, John.
We move from NASA to Roscosmos. Now, Dmitry Rogozin, a lieutenant of Vladimir Putin at the Kremlin, was assigned Roscosmos. And these years, he's been making remarks that are, well, we call them trash talk in a locker room. Rogozin has now moved on to other tasks in the conquered territory of Ukraine. And what's left behind is the trash talk. What have we learned about Rogozin's and the robot arm, Bob?
Yes, Rogozin, you know, like it was, as you say, trash talk. He liked to make a lot of loudmouth statements. And he, with the Ukraine invasion and the sanctions put on by the West against Russia, he was very bellicose. He did a lot of things. He helped break off all science partnerships with the West, with Russia. He forced the end of a multi-billion-dollar contract Russia had to launch OneWeb satellites. They're really paying for that one. And then he announced that the new European robot arm that was being placed on the Russian section of ISS, he announced that no Russian astronaut can do any work on that robot arm. We're going to punish you, basically, Rogozin was saying. Well, the trouble is, the robot arm was intended for the use of the Russians on their own station, as part of the station, so he's really cutting his own nose off despite his face. Well, he's gone now, and interestingly enough, this week, there's a spacewalk going on to configure that robot arm on the Russian station, and Russian astronauts are doing that spacewalk. Gee, I guess the new guy in charge of Roscosmos basically told the Russian astronauts, don't pay any attention to what Rogozin said. We're going to proceed as normal. And that, I think, is a good thing because I think it's going to ease the tensions and maybe help Russia get out from under. I mean, as long as they're invading Ukraine, they'll never get completely out from under, and they're not going to get their commercial business back. But at least they might not do stupid things on ISS. Rogozin's gone.
Axiom, commercial space with Hungary. What's the deal?
You know, Axiom is building its own space station modules to attach to ISS to eventually become its own independent space station when ISS is deorbited. And Axiom is a private company. They've already done one tourist flight to ISS, and they have several more planned in the next year. They have signed deals with Italy to fly an with the UAE to fly an Italian UAE astronaut to ISS. They now signed a deal with Hungary to do basically the same thing. They would be flying them to either ISS or to the Axiom modules on ISS. It's not clear when these flights would occur. I should tell you, Axiom's also signed deals with Italy and the United Kingdom company to add their own modules to its station. So what this is just showing is that if you let private companies own what they build in space, they can use that ownership to multiply the benefits and make money at the same time. And that's what Axiom is doing here. And it's making money from international customers.
SpaceX's Falcon 9 is the booster for two lunar probes. These are rovers, but this is a colorful story because one of them's got a cute name, Rashid. What are these rovers, Bob?
Well, I think the more interesting thing to this is what's putting the rover. First, the rovers are interesting, but I think what's putting the rovers on the moon is interesting. A company called iSpace is now aiming for a November 22nd launch of its lunar lander. It's a lander, and it's going to be launched on that SpaceX rocket. And it's carrying a bunch of payloads that have purchased space on the lander. And that's the two rovers plus other instruments. One of those rovers is that company's own small rover. They were originally designing this for the Google Luna XPRIZE X1, but they're going to still fly it. But they also have a customer, the United Arab Emirates, which built its own small rover called Rashid that's going to launch in November. So come along in November, two small rovers are going to roll off a privately launched, privately built lunar lander, and they're going to roam around on the moon to demonstrate the technology they can do this and get some data. And they'll work for probably about a week or so during the lunar day, and the mission will be done. But this is all private, or at least if it's not private, private enterprise is making it possible, John, and that's part of the same game as the previous stories.
The Rocket Lab, Bob. We've watched Rocket Lab very carefully. What are they up to now?
Rocket Lab is a small stat private commercial rocket company. Recently, they launched for the National Reconnaissance Orbit a reconnaissance satellite, and that was part of a two launch deal that NRO put together that had quickly signed Rocket Lab to do. And the idea was to prove that Rocket Lab could quickly sign a contract, quickly launch two different rockets within a very short period of time. And so they did the first launch on July 13th, and they were going to do the second launch on July 22nd. And Rocket Lab says it's ready to go. But NRO has delayed the launch. NRO says it wishes to install software updates to its payload, and because of that, they have to stand down while that happens. In a sense, even if the launch doesn't happen, Rocket Lab is ready to go. So it's kind of proven the point. It can do quick launches, quickly scheduled, one right after the other.
This is a complicated story. Northrop Grumman, the Cygnus cargo mission, Russia, Ukraine, and I'm lost, Bob. Why have they delayed Cygnus?
One of the problems that you have when you have a chaotic but robust aerospace industry of many different companies instead of a single government program is that things get very complicated. This is a good example. Northrop Grumman launches the Antares rocket carrying the Cygnus freighter to ISS. It's a cargo vessel unmanned that brings cargo to and from the station. That rocket, Antares, is built, even though it's built by Northrop Grumman, its first stage is built by a Ukrainian company using two Russian engines. Now, Northrop Grumman has already in the States engines and boosters for the next two Antares launches, but they don't have any after that. And so they've announced that they're delaying the next cargo mission to ISS from August to October, and they say it's because of supply chain issues. They don't say what those issues were, but think it's related to the use of Russian engines and a Ukrainian first stage in their rocket. Without that, the Russians have already blocked shipment of further Russian engines, and the Ukrainians, it's questionable whether they can continue to deliver the first stage body as well. And so that means that North Gagarin only has two more flights, and they can't do any further. Now, they have an American company, Ursa Major, who is building an engine that could replace those Russian engines, but that won't be around until 25. So what I think is happening here is that North Gagarin has decided to stretch out the schedule of its last two Antares launches in the hopes that the Russians will lift the embargo on their engines and therefore allow them to get more engines and therefore do more flights. That's what I think is going on here, John. I'm not sure, but it's sure there is a fact that North Gagarin might fly freighters to ISS after the next two missions.
Vandenberg Air Force Base, an abort by SpaceX. Bob, you tell me this is extremely unusual. What do we learn from it?
Well, it's unusual, and that's really what makes it a story. SpaceX has now done as many launches in half a year as it did last year, 30-plus launches. And every one of those launches this year has gone like clockwork, pretty much. I think there was maybe one or two that were delayed due to weather, but that's not anything SpaceX can do anything about. And last year, the same thing. Almost every launch went like clockwork. So SpaceX this week had a launch that aborted at 46 seconds before launch, and that's just interesting because it's now become such a rare event. It does illustrate how pro forma, how routine SpaceX is getting this to happen. I should say they aborted. They also immediately announced that there's no real serious issue and they're going to recycle and launch the next day. And that, I think, once again indicates how routine this is becoming.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's happy anniversary, Bob, Behind the Black. 12 years of Bob watching commercial space develop in all directions for many countries. And we're going now to one of the results of space launches these last years, a NASA success, Perseverance on Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.